Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, November the 6th, 2009.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, soybeans fell to harvest pressure this week, and corn, much like the lines at the elevators, stalled. We'll ask what's next and how USDA will manage next Tuesday's crop production report today on Commodity Week. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Nick Kachukas. He's at Landworth in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists today in studio are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, Del Durkles of AgriVisor out of Bloomington, Illinois, and Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Let's open today's discussion with this question. Will soybeans manage to rally as the crop harvest winds through its second half, or will the looming crop in South America weigh on the marketplace? Paul Cooley of ADM.
My general impression is that with this larger soybean crop that I'm anticipating, and I think the trade has it fairly right, something in that bushel bigger crop production report than the USDA, plus the bigger production estimates that we're going to have in South America, I think that probably we're pretty close or seeing the highs in the soybeans.
Dale Durkles from AgriVisor.
I'll have the opposite tack to what Paul just said. We're in a window here for some cycle lows at this juncture. Data that I get, things that I hear, still make me question as to whether the soybean crop's going to grow at all, and I could still have a plausible argument it could be a little bit smaller. And the other thing about South America, we always start off the years, it seems, projecting huge crops down there only to have a shot come along. And right now, it's still really dry in a lot of Argentina, and when there's an El Nino, we tend to have dryness up in the main parts of Brazil.
And Bill Mayer, Strategic Farm Marketing.
I guess I would probably tend to agree more with Paul there. I think that I didn't like the close on today's market. Took it through some pretty good support levels. I think what my estimate would be is that we're probably going to go down here, possibly try that 940 level on the Jan beans and kind of trade in that 9 to 950 range that we're in from late August through early October there.
Soy complex finished the week like this. Remember, we give you the high, the low, and the settlement price on the weekly trade, including the day and the overnight. November had a high this week of $10.18 in the beans, a low at $9.48, and that lead option harvest month settled at $9.48, down 30 cents. It was on a low for the week. November of 2010 contract settled at $9.53¾. It finished off 8¼. I want to come back to you on the tech side. You're going to have to prove to me and probably everybody else that you're right, that beans have upward momentum in them.
Well, when you basically look at the pattern that November or January contract, either one put in them, from that early October low, it really broke down from an Elliott wave pattern. It suggested, you know, we ought to have another leg up at some point in time, one more leg up anyway. The correction we had back down, there's a whole host in either one of them around the 950 level. And I've gone back in years past, there seems to be a history of soybeans swinging around 960 increments too. Doesn't hit it exactly, but 960 is one of those 60-cent increments. So the break we had back down in here really fits to me with just a corrective pattern we've had. And right now I'm basically in a game with a cycle low due here at any point, telling, having the market tell me, prove it. You know, at worst, if we break, we go down to $9.
Paul Cooley?
Well, our exit surveys indicate we have a pretty darn good soybean crop in the United States. It wouldn't surprise me, you know, based on the two prominent Informa and also FC Stone, our indications are that it's awful good, too. When we talk to, you know, Indiana, Illinois, and, of course, the Iowa, and we know that the Delta had real good yields. General impression is the pedal is the metal in the South America, and we know that they're going to go out and plant a lot of extra acres. We know that we're not dealing with the old Brazil. We have a new Brazil. They're financially pretty well off. They've got a lot of input power. They've got a lot of fertilizer power. Fertilizer's cheaper in price, and we know that they know how to raise soybeans as well. My general impression is that the $10 level was a good price to go for, and we sure recommended the farmer to unload their bin there.
Bill, how do you see things unfolding fundamentally in the next couple of weeks? Do you think the crop that's coming out of the United States will be as big as many had thought? And I guess this is as much about next Tuesday as anything.
Yeah, I guess I think that the numbers Tuesday, just looking at what the USDA's expected to come out with, I think it's going to be a fairly lateral move from their standpoint. I would agree with Paul as far as the yields go. I've heard some awfully good yields out there, but the real question is, how much have we lost? How much crop have we lost? We've lost some. I mean, we got beans underwater in some parts of Champaign County, so I think we've lost some beans, but I don't know that the yields and the higher yields won't make up for those beans that we've lost. So I guess I'd expect the bean yields to stay steady to probably a little bit better as we move through the next couple of months.
On the technical side of the picture, what is it fundamentally that might rally the market? Is it in, and I'm guessing that you're looking at inflation potentially. What's there that's going to push this marketplace higher?
Fundamentally, tell me what the size of the crop is. We really don't have a clue yet, and the USDA is not even sure they're really going to have a good clue come January. There are a lot of things that we aren't going to know about it. The other thing, and I pointed out, you know, yes, we are planting more acres in Brazil and Argentina right now. Planting in Argentina is behind last year. Planting in some places down there has stopped. Why? Soils are too dry. And, you know, people got to understand in here, and I'm not necessarily saying they're going to have a bad crop this year, but it isn't a good crop until it's in the bin. And I know that the history has been down there in the last 3 to 5 years, we have tended to always say, oh, we're going to have a big crop, only to find out we get disappointed somewhere. And I think that's a reality the market's got to deal with, especially this year in light of the fact that we need a huge crop out of there too.
But the big problem here is that when a producer did have these 60, 65 bushel beans and we had $10, what was he going to do with them? Was he going to put them in a bin? That was a cost incentive. Was he going to pay expensive elevator storage? That was a cost incentive. Are we going to buy more beans? And, you know, do you have to defend this deal and be a marketing program at some point in time? And the risk-reward is pretty good here. I'm mystified on the bad yields. You know, there are a few bean yields that seem to be a little bit subpar in a few areas, but it was related to very late planting. But as a general rule, it was a pretty big bean crop throughout the Midwest.
Let me back up just a second, because the marketplace all fall long has told producers there's no carry in the marketplace. This is the right place to sell. Correct?
Yeah.
All right. All right. So is everybody in agreement with that? Yes?
Yeah. I mean, I guess
whenever there's no carry, the market's telling you sell the product. The market wants the
right
product.
So you're thinking this is a speculative purchase then?
What do you mean by that?
Well, if you think the marketplace is going higher, what do you want to do with it? What are you going to do with beans?
What am I going to do with beans? Well, sure, at this point after the break we've had this week, I'm not going to really get anxious about pricing any beans, because I still think, you know, what's my downside risk? Half a buck? I'll come back to this level at some point anyway. I'm going to play the game right now, because if we do run into a problem, we're talking about, you can go to 11. I know there's some people out there that say 12, but I won't talk about that yet. I'm talking board.
I guess I would if I wanted to err, I guess I'd want to err on the side of having more beans sold than and not enough beans sold. I don't want to have all my beans sold. I would agree that there is some potential upside. Maybe demand, you ask what can make the market go higher. I mean, we're still $30 a ton cheaper on soybeans than anywhere else in the world right now. And that's got to change eventually if we're going to see demand slow down.
Farmers are big marketers of soybeans, and you know, I still think that the $10 bill was a wonderful price.
Last comment, and then on to corn.
The other thing you got to remember, I'll just go back to Monday, Tuesday. Big money wanted to own stuff, and big money wanted to own it for a reason, and you can't ignore it.
All right, December corn futures this week at 398 and three quarter top, bottom at 359 and a quarter, settlement price a penny higher at $3.67. Dease corn settled at 405 and three quarters, up 5 3/4 from the previous week. Oh, we've had so much fun with you. What do you think in the corn market?
Right now, I think there's a possibility here early this week that we could step down to Dease futures down to roughly the 3.5 level. I'm still trying to figure out whether we're going to follow a 7-week or a 10-week cycle in here. 7-week, could have been hit last Monday. A 10-week may still be ahead this week yet and could even be into the week after, but I think we're in a window. The one thing that we're going to deal with, no matter which way you want to cut the cake, because we're going to have to dry all of this crop, and yeah, we've taken a lot of moisture out with weather this week. Harvest is never going to be real fast for corn this year.
I think the big factor here is that I think we are looking at a 164, a larger corn crop. I think the $4 corn sales, was the way to play it as far as, in the cash market. I'd been 100% sold at those levels. And
when December got to four, right?
Well, the actual cash price, for January and any time you could lock the $4 corn price in. The big question is that just how low are we going to go in here? And definitely we hear the word 350 being bantered around. That's no secret in the marketplace. But the big factor here is the farmer continues to be a willing seller of corn. We do know that the moisture levels have dropped off, but he is in the mood to pick corn.
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to see some progress, but there's so much uncertainty in the corn market. I guess I see that as the difference between the beans and the corn here, is we took care of a lot of the uncertainty, I believe, on soybeans as we saw the weather break and saw the farmers get out there and start making progress on the bean harvest. But on corn, we're still just barely into it. We really don't know what the yields are, although some anecdotal reports look pretty good. And we've got so many other factors out there as far as the economy, uncertainty in the economy, and just uncertainty from a global standpoint, that I think, I'll take today's or this week's market where we started out higher and came back lower the last 2 days and ended up basically unchanged for the week.
Dale, were you at the users conference for the USDA's data users conference earlier in the
week? Yeah, I was.
And what did USDA say about the crop production report? Were you too? Yes. No. What?
Well, the biggest thing, the production report coming out this week, of no matter to people here, they're going to have a special small grains update there because of the late harvest that we had up in the northern plains on barley and spring wheat, and maybe something else. But as far as corn, they were guessing right now that they were only going to have samples from about 70% of their plots. So they aren't going to have a full sample yet at this point. They're fully geared up as we even get the January number itself. Now, the data for the January crop report is collected in the first half of December. They end up counting corn that's still standing in the field and not harvested as corn that's stored on farm. You know, when we start looking at the stocks report that comes at the same point. And my basic contention, we're not going to know anything about the size of this crop with any clarity until we see the March stocks report.
Well, we in the 70s, I've probably been in the business longer than most people in here in the room, but I will say this, that in the 70s, in the early 1970s, when the crop was left out in the field in the Dakotas, those bushels still ultimately showed up in the marketplace. We're really not going to have a disaster up there for quite a while. My general impression is that the market is pretty well confident of the fairly large yield. The farmers are doing a lot of selling, the storage costs are enormous. The drying costs are enormously bearish. And whenever you use the commercial high cost of drying, historically that's fairly bearish to the marketplace because it forces that corn to move more often.
Yeah, but the one issue we've got to deal with here, which is going to be a big unknown, and the USDA doesn't give us the data, is the longer we push harvest out, the more you run risk of field losses going up. And I know there was one year that field losses quadrupled on corn in Illinois.
I think you're going to see this wide range of prices continuing. And when you make the sales, make them at the top end of the range and own some corn coming out of harvest, I believe, just to give yourself some ownership.
You are listening to Commodity Week. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. From the University of Illinois, the land-grant university in this great state. We'll be back in just 2 minutes when we'll talk with the folks at Landworth.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. It will take a lot of nice fall weather to make up for the record wet and cold October here in Illinois, but this first week of November was a great start. Temperatures this week were still running colder than normal, but with sunshine it didn't seem quite as cool as it was. Temperatures this week ranged from near normal in southwestern Illinois to about 3 degrees below normal in northeastern Illinois. Most locations in the state have experienced freezing temperatures this fall, although much of the southern half of the state has not yet had a hard freeze. Other than a few showers north and some sprinkles in central Illinois about midweek, this week was dry, much to the relief of agricultural producers, and for that matter, just about everyone else. Rainfall was less than a tenth of an inch this week, and for those locations that did get rain, only a few hundredths fell. The lack of rain, sunshine, and dew points in the 20s and 30s, the mark of very dry air, hastened drying across Illinois this week. Milder weather will continue into next Monday, but clouds will be on the increase as a front approaches Illinois. There may be some scattered showers late Monday and Monday night as the front moves through the state, but it looks like amounts will be light. The front will usher in much cooler air, which will be with us until late in the week. At that time, a warming trend should start ahead of the next cold front. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, November the 6th, 2009.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today are Dale Durkles of AgriVisor out of Bloomington, Illinois, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from Champaign, Illinois, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Our guest today on Commodity Week is Nick Kachukas. He's the Vice President of Products, and Nick leads Landworth's National Resource Intelligence Operations. He's trained in geography and the social sciences, and he has 20 years of experience in the application of remote sensing and geospatial analysis to monitoring agroforest production. Nick received his education at Yale University. Thank you for joining us, Nick.
My pleasure.
Landworth made a big splash in September with their numbers for this year's crop. They were low, comparatively speaking, just above $12 billion, I think, for the corn, but you have been silent since that point, for the most part, with the exception to the folks that you're speaking to and your paying clients. What kinds of information can you tell us about the crop at this point?
Well, in September, we reported via various media sources that we saw both the corn and soybean crops for this year more conservatively than either USDA or various other private analytical firms did. And what we can report now is that we are largely in the same position. Our estimates have been adjusted to account for the harvest and for various weather changes. But in all, we are somewhat, as I said, more conservative in our estimation of the size of the corn and bean crops.
And why is that the case?
Well, I think one of the things that's very important to understand is that this was a late crop, and it wasn't so much the late planting that mattered, but it was the late flowering. The delays in initial delays in planting turned into even later delays in flowering, which had the effect of shortening the time this crop had to fill its seeds. Now, on top of that, as we all know, there was wet, cool, and cloudy weather. That, of course, was beneficial to lengthening the seed filling period relative to its otherwise short duration. But it had the effect also of cutting down on solar radiation and suppressing photosynthetic activity. So that, coupled with some dryness in some areas and some temperature problems in others, all in all, really took the top off this crop. It's going to be a good crop. But Landworth continues to believe it's not going to be the size that the market currently expects.
In short, you just think it didn't mature properly, right?
That's right. It didn't mature to the extent that it otherwise might have.
So some of the points that you made there, I would assume that your models are based on historical history. And how do you account when you have a year that's just completely so much different than past years?
Mm-hmm. Our models actually are based not so much on historical correlations as they are really simulations of how plants grow. So we focus not on what's correlated with yield, say cooler August temperatures or certain amounts of rainfall. We actually look at the processes by which crops form their yield. So we combine daily rainfall records, we combine solar radiation inputs, we look at soils, and we use this to effectively grow crops inside our computer models. We then look at how the results of those models have correlated with yields in the past, and that's how we arrive at our predictions for the current year.
Nick, in looking at, and I'm a little familiar with where your numbers are today, and you know, and I respect what you guys are doing. I also understand pretty well the USDA process, and where do you really account for the difference in your yield expectations compared to theirs at this point? What do you think the ingredient is that maybe they haven't picked up, and maybe what are they picking up that you guys aren't picking up?
Mm-hmm. And I think the key word here is test weight. Now, what our models are telling us, and what we've observed in our own surveys, is that this year's crop is going to be on the low side in terms of normal test weights. And this is related to the reduced seed filling. And it's also, it was further heightened by these frosts that we got in the last week of September and the first week of October. Those frosts came before a lot of the crop had fully matured. And so they brought the seed filling process to a premature end. And what we're beginning to see and hear about, actually, through a lot of the farm media, is our yields that are good volumetrically, but when you put them on the scales, you actually find out that they need to be reduced down. And this is related to what our models are picking up, which is that the seeds aren't quite all the way full. And that's what's really going to take this premium off this crop that so many are expecting.
What country in the world or what crop is the one the easiest for you to really make a big impact on? Wheat, corn, beans, you name the country and
Well, right now we've been operating with corn and soybeans largely and also wheat in the U.S., but also corn and soybeans in South America. We've been doing this operationally for 3 years. And our production numbers have come within 1% of final estimates in all of those countries. So we do best with corn and soybeans, and I would say our number two crop is wheat.
Let me go back to test weight very mm-hmm. quickly. So how far – you said it was within normal range. So normal range would be 54, I think, to 60, right? And so you're down at 54?
We're definitely at the low end of test weights. And back to your earlier question about how this differs from USDA, I think that the important thing to note is that up until now, USDA's reports, and actually the reports of other private firms, are largely based on farmer-reported yields. And those yield estimates, of course, you know, have tremendous value, but that value increases as you get closer and closer to the harvest. Now, in a year like this one, where the harvest isn't yet complete, really the answer from farmer-reported yields isn't completely in. But more importantly, when USDA does its estimate, it depends also on its objective yield program. And there is where USDA actually measures test weights and uses them to adjust its yield estimates appropriately. Now, this normally begins to happen in USDA's October report. But this year, the delays mean that really by the October report, they only had about 30% of their objective yield samples in. So really, what we're pointing out is something that should also be already understood as a limitation of USDA's current view, which is that weights have not yet been fully considered. And we believe that when they are fully considered, USDA will have to come down off of its current estimate.
Yeah, but if they were fully considered, we'd still, and I say yes, but wouldn't, even if they did that, wouldn't we come up with something like a 12.85 crop? Not certainly as low as your first estimates or what's been published from Landworth.
Our estimates have come up a bit from September. When we first reported, we had assumed that September weather would in fact be normal. September weather, as I think everyone remembers, was actually very good in parts of the central and western Corn Belt. So our models incorporated a number of clear, sunny, warm days we had in September and came up slightly. So we are not down as far as we were in September. But even at 12.8, I venture to say that would be quite a surprise to the current market.
Nick, this is Dale Dirkholz, not to put you on the spot, but where do you think the corn and soybean numbers are going to end up at?
You know, I wish I could share that number, but I can't.
That's the reason we didn't ask up front. So tell me about the technology you use. What do you use to come up with the numbers?
You know, as I mentioned earlier, we use a combination of three things. We have effectively a three-legged stool, which is we use satellite data and weather data that we collect on a daily basis. We use computer simulations of crop development and production, and we use an extensive network of ground observations. And through those three sort of means of observation, we arrive at early season estimates of area, planted area, and then as the season goes on, we start doing operational yield forecasting.
Can you distinguish between crops
satellite? Yes, we can, and we offer USDA June Acres report, a series of estimates for plantation, and those estimates this year were actually very accurate. And in October, USDA, remember, it lowered its planted area for corn by more than 750,000 acres, and that was to agree exactly with what our early season maps had shown.
Nick, we appreciate you taking the time with us today.
My pleasure.
Nick Kachukas is with Landworth, and he's in Chicago, Illinois. A final word from our panelist in studio, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing.
I know all of our listeners have a lot to focus on here, but I would recommend that you look out to the 2010 corn and soybeans, and 950-plus on beans, 450-plus on corn would probably be a good area to look at maybe getting some sales started.
Dale Dirkholz of AgriVisor.
It's late. Be careful. Make sure of that. You know, everybody's going to be anxious. Everybody's going to tend to be in a hurry. But always remember to be careful this year in the fall.
And Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
Commodity funds and farmers are long in the corn market, and that's a dangerous combination.
And we thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to Commodity Week from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. As Dale said, be safe and have a good harvest this week.